Before we get started, I would like to thank B-Daddy of Two. You left a 5-star review and you said, relevant to recovering longtime farmer rep, I still love to hear latest and greatest. Don't agree with everything, but that is the nature of opinion. And you are right, my friend. That is the nature of opinion. And if you didn't like some other previous podcasts, you definitely may not like today, as I am pretty tough on the big pharma or drug industry. But I still appreciate the 5-star review, and if you are listening to this and you have any amount of time in your life to give a 5-star review, it really does help other people find this podcast. And with that being said, let's get on to the show. Welcome back to Question Medicine, where we are asking medical questions and giving medical answers based on recent medical literature. Today's question is, in adults overweight with obesity and cardiovascular disease but without diabetes, does adding semaglutide to usual care reduce major adverse cardiovascular events? Does adding semaglutide reduce cardiovascular events in those individuals that are obese but do not have diabetes? You ponder that question, and I'll be back in 15 seconds. Andrew Bell, sunny St. Petersburg, Florida. Let's do this thing, shall we? Here is the deal, my friends. Here is the deal. We know that semaglutide will help reduce major adverse cardiovascular events in those individuals with diabetes. But what about if you didn't have diabetes? What if you are overweight? What if you have a history of cardiovascular events in the past? What if? Those are all the what ifs that we're asking. Well, we have the SELECT trial. Yes, the SELECT trial. This is a randomized placebo-controlled trial of just over 17,000 patients older than 45 years of age. The mean age here was 62, with obesity, but excluded anyone that had diabetes, because we already know that it helps with diabetes. Once you're enrolled in the trial, you are randomized to either weekly subcutaneous semaglutide injections with a target dose of 2.4 milligrams by week 16, or placebo. There were roughly just over 8,500 patients in each group. The primary cardiovascular endpoint was a composite of death from cardiovascular causes, non-fatal myocardial infarction, or non-fatal stroke in time to first event analysis, which meaning once you had the first event, then you were considered out. It was not this win ratio as I had talked about previously in the Flozin literature. Of the primary outcomes, the improvement in non-fatal stroke was not statistically significant. The improvement in death from cardiovascular causes was not statistically significant. But hold on. It does appear that non-fatal myocardial infarction was significant, and this is what really drove the entire composite outcome. And you know I hate composite outcomes. I think they are dirty. They're one of the many ways that Big Pharma is just a snake, and they get you to publish, or they get you to think that their results are so much better than they are. They combine a bunch of things and then say, look at this, we helped save lives. When actually, you break down the individual composite endpoint, the individual thing, and then you realize, well, you didn't really actually save any lives. You really just saved non-fatal myocardial infarctions, which is, it's still a big deal, don't get me wrong, but it's not the same as death. Those are not the same thing. And I wish that was my only gripe with this paper, but that's just the beginning. That is just the tip of the iceberg with you, if you will. The paper in the conclusions, they say, and I quote, the conclusions say, in patients with pre-existing cardiovascular disease and overweight or obesity, but without diabetes, weekly subcutaneous semaglutide at a dose of 2.4 milligrams was superior to placebo in reducing the incidence of death from cardiovascular causes, non-fatal myocardial infarction, or non-fatal stroke at a mean follow-up of 39.8 months. Now, if you go all the way down to this discussion part of this paper, all the way to the very bottom during the discussion part where most people never read it, you will find this line, and again, I quote, an important limitation of this trial is that we included only patients with pre-existing cardiovascular disease. The effects of semaglutide on primary prevention of cardiovascular events in persons overweight or obesity but without previous atherosclerotic disease was not studied. And my big problem right here is that if you really want to know the full inclusion criteria, you have to go to the supplementary data, which no one ever does. I mean, I do it, but not even always. But I try to do it most of the time, especially if I have a particular question, but they didn't put the full inclusion criteria in the paper. This was sneaky. This was planned. This, I had to believe, was some sort of, not just a, oh, we overlooked putting the inclusion criteria in the paper. I mean, even my kindergarten little niece knows that you put the inclusion criteria of your population in the paper. But Novo Nordisk, who has run multiple, many, many, many trials, didn't know that they should have done this. They thought, oh, we'll just put in the supplementary data because that's where everyone goes to look for the inclusion criteria. I mean, come on. But when you go to the supplementary data on page 18 of the supplementary data, you can read that this part of the inclusion criteria was that patients had to have established cardiovascular disease as evidenced by at least one of the following: prior myocardial infarction, prior stroke, either ischemic or hemorrhagic, or symptomatic peripheral arterial disease as evidenced by intermittent claudication with an ankle brachial index. So this is secondary prevention. The paper of the title should read, semaglutide improves cardiovascular outcomes in patients with cardiovascular disease, cardiovascular disease, cardiovascular disease, and obesity without diabetes. It improves those individuals with cardiovascular disease and obesity without diabetes. But that's not what the paper is titled. The paper is titled Semaglutide and Cardiovascular Outcomes in Obesity Without Diabetes. They say nothing about the fact that this is secondary prevention right there in the title, which is horsewash malonkey. That was another planned strategic little drop by the drug company I'm sure that they're aware of. I'm sure that they knew of, and yet they didn't do. This, for me, is a new low by the drug companies, a new sneaky snake, a new thing I had never seen done before. They knew that they had secondary prevention, yet they don't mention it really in the abstract. They don't mention it in the title. They don't mention it, and they're probably hoping that you don't really learn about it because, I mean, realistically, how many people go to the supplementary data? Their evidence is still not terrible, and the use of semaglutide did reduce the rates of non-fatal myocardial infarction. I think overall, the takeaway bottom line for me is, make sure you read the studies, every single drop and bit and piece of the studies, and then even question it a little bit more, because there are going to be drug companies out there that put in little sneaky things like this that will get by you if you're not careful and you don't read super carefully. However, semaglutide did improve non-fatal myocardial infarctions at roughly 40 months compared to placebo in those individuals who were obese, did not have diabetes, and did have coronary artery disease. If you like this podcast, then please give it a review. But I know, I'm just like you. I don't give every podcast a review. So let's just be honest. If you like the podcast, just share it with a friend so we can all be a little bit better, one question at a time. And with that, I will end this podcast as I've ended every single one before it. Wait for the music. Until next time, keep the quest in questioning.